The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Doing all right? You glad you're in church? Is anyone watching a football game today? Does anyone care? One of the boys, they were getting ready for Dasher Cash. He said, "What team are you going for?" I said, "The football team." He didn't like that answer, but... Hey, I have one announcement before we get into the Word. We realized this week that for those that have Thursday night life groups, that not this coming week, but the next week, that it falls on Valentine's Day. And so we just made a decision. We're going to cancel the Thursday night groups for that week, for Valentine's Day, and encourage you to take advantage of our Harvest Kids Ministry is still going to provide ministry that night so that you can take your spouse on a date, or so that you can take yourself on a date, or so that you can take a friend to coffee, or whatever, however you want to celebrate it, all right? So we'd love for you to be able to do that, and so we just wanted to let you know. And then during the worship, right there at the end, I just felt like as we were singing about I Trust You, Lord, I felt like the Lord gave me a word that I think it's for someone here today. Trust is built slowly and broken quickly, and maybe you're facing a situation where trust has been broken, and it can happen, you know, in a moment. And maybe you're asking yourself today, you know, how could I ever trust, fill in the blank, this person again? How could I trust again? And I just felt, you know, God saying, you know, you may not be able to trust them yet, but you can trust me. And if you'll put your trust in me, I can accelerate that process. It doesn't have to build, so he can accelerate that. And so I just felt like somebody needed to hear that this morning. And so I want to encourage you at that. Let's put our theme verse on the screen this morning, John chapter 15, verse 16. Why don't you say it with me this morning? 1, 2, 3. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. All right, so we're kind of on a mission to bear lasting fruit, and I just got to tell you one testimony. When the Lord sent Lisa and I back here to Albuquerque, he really put a vision in our heart to love our city, and this week we just saw, it was like this verse coming to life, because we hosted the Convoy of Hope launch for our 2019 event, which is not even until November, but we got to get started because it's such a big event. We cleared all the chairs out of here and put tables up, and we had almost 200 leaders from all over our city that gathered here and participated in the launch, and it was just pretty cool because like the mayor came and he stood on this stage and he told all these faith leaders, hey, Albuquerque is changing and it's because of your partnership. So church, keep doing what you're doing. And then the police chief got up here and he talked about how crime's decreasing. And he said, church, it's because of our partnership. So keep doing what you're doing. And I was standing over here off to the side and I just was watching all this. And I'm looking at all the pastors in the audience. And honestly, a bunch of them have bigger churches than us, and I was kind of feeling small and insignificant, like, why is the mayor on our stage, and why are we the ones? The Lord just said, it's because you're the ones that said yes, and you're a part, I said it first, but you're coming along with me, and it's just so fun to see how he is causing his church, all of us, to bear fruit, and I really believe that the fruit that is being produced right now in our city will be what John 15 says will be a lasting fruit, that we'll see long-term change in our city. Does anyone believe that? Anyone believe that? I hope so. So we're in a series right now called Today Matters. And the idea is that we have a tendency to exaggerate yesterday. We give it too much credit, you know, the pain of the past or even the success of the past. We live in the glory days. We exaggerate that. And then we look at tomorrow and we overestimate what we can do tomorrow. We think, well, I'll make up for it tomorrow, right? I'll work out tomorrow. I'll get financially healthy tomorrow. We overestimate what we can do the next day, and we underestimate the power of today. And so this series is here to remind us that today matters, that how you live your life today, the decisions you make today matter. Think of it this way, think of the power of 1 degree. You see, 1 degree doesn't seem like much. You know, if I'm off by 1 degree, I mean, it's just 1 degree. But 1 degree doesn't seem like much until you've walked 5 miles off 1 degree. Because what happens, the further you go, the further you get from the destination that you originally set out for. And if we think about it in terms of our today's matter, you know, one day, I mean, what is today? You know, I mean, I'm going to make good decisions today, but can it really make up for the past? Can it really help me? And you know, one day doesn't seem like much until you've spent 5 years of today's, until you've spent 10 years of today's. And so this series is really to remind us to make every single day count, to make good decisions every single day. And the decisions that we're talking about today have to do with our values, our core values. What do we really believe? As a pastor, one of the things that I get to do is I get to perform funerals. And I love when the funeral's easy. Here's what I mean. I love when the person actually lived a great life. And I love because, I mean, the stories are easy, right? You don't have to look hard or far. You can just see, like, they lived a godly life and people love them and they're genuinely going to miss them. And every once in a while I have someone that's just not the case, that I mean, I have to search for good stuff, right? I'm like, man, what are we gonna say about this person? You know, I interview the family and I'm like, surely there's something good. And I leave just depressed thinking, I think they're glad this person's dead. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to, you know, I can't lie because I'm a pastor, and so I gotta figure out a way to make this person sound good. And it, you know, just got me thinking, like, what if we had the chance to, you know, see into the future and to hear what someone might say, you know, at our funeral, right? And you know, this winter, Josiah and Eleanor were in a play called Scrooge. You probably know the story, right? Scrooge, he had the chance, right, to go into the future, you know, Ghost of Christmas Future, and he got to see, you know, if I stay on this path, if I keep living this way, this is what they're going to say about me. This is what's going to happen. Or maybe you remember the story of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Do y'all remember this? Where they get lost and they think that they're dead. And so they actually go as far as to have a funeral for the two boys, right? And it turns out that the two boys are actually standing in the back of the room and they're hearing, you know, that, can you imagine? Just put yourself there, right? Can you imagine hearing your own funeral? In fact, we have a video clip of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, so you can watch this.
And never
That's my favorite part. I had to wait till she said that. If I get you home, I'm going to thrash you within an inch of your life. I love it. Have you ever thought, what are people going to say about the life that I lived? What are they going to say? And what I want us to think about today is what people will say about us is determined by the way that we live our lives. And the way we live our lives is determined by the values that we have. Gary Collins defines values like this. He says, values are foundational beliefs that anchor our lives, the things that matter to us most, the non-negotiable characteristics that best describe who we are. Here's the take home today. Here's what I want you to get today is that you become what you value. The things that you value, you will become, you just become exactly that, exactly what you value. The Apostle Paul writes about values in his letter to the church in Galatia in chapter 6. He says this, he says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. These verses in Galatians are really about values. The principle here is you reap what you sow, or we could say you become what you value. It's the same language there. If you value the things of the flesh, then you make decisions based on how you feel in the moment. You're led around by your feelings. That's decisions based on the flesh. And listen, it's okay to make decisions like that in some areas. Like, it's okay to make decision about like where you're going to eat lunch today based on how you feel, right? You might get in the car after church and you might look at your spouse or your friend and you might say, hey, what do you want for lunch? And the other person might say, well, you know, I feel like tacos, or I feel like pizza, or I don't mind if you make decisions about lunch based on how you feel. Or maybe you woke up this morning and you looked in your closet, you're like, I feel like wearing this. I feel like being a bright person today. I feel like, you know, whatever it was. That's an okay way to make decision when it comes to your lunch or when it comes to what you're wearing. It's not a great way to live your life. There's a television show right now that it's popular, and I just can't figure out why. It's called Tidying Up with this woman called Marie Kondo. I'm hearing already, you're mad at me already. I haven't even said anything yet. How many of you have seen this show? Some of you are really excited. You drank the Kool-Aid, all right? So if you've never seen the show, she has this premise. She's trying to help people clean up and organize, you know, their lives and their homes, and so she got this premise called sparking joy. And what you do is as you're cleaning, you know, through a drawer or garage or whatever, you take an item and you hold the item up and you ask yourself, does this item spark joy in my heart? And if it does, then you keep it. And if it doesn't, then you get rid of it. And so all across America, you know, wives are throwing all their stuff away while husbands are at work. And then they come home and it's all in the front lawn. And I learned between services, there's a term for that when that happens. They say that you've been condo married when that happens. All right. And I hear that teenagers are they're using this too. They're going to their teachers and they're saying, homework did not spark joy in me, so I didn't do it, you know, and it's that strategy is not working, right? So, you know, the idea is, you know, that we can make decisions on what's in our closet by how we feel. And again, I don't care if you make decisions on, you know, which spatula you keep. You know, well, this one brings me joy and this one doesn't. I don't care, all right? That's your business, all right? I'm watching Facebook, and like Natalie has drank the Kool-Aid, Pastor Natalie, and she's posting before and after pictures of her cabinets, you know? And then Lisa brings her pictures to me because she wants me to do it. The problem is all my stuff brings me joy. That's the problem. I don't want to get rid of my stuff, right? But it's okay if that's, but listen, that's not a way to live your life. Like that, you can't live your life based on how do I feel? You know, do I want to do this? You know, do I not want to do this? Because we said this last week, but if we're led around by our feelings, by our flesh, it's destructive, because the reality is there are things in life that feel good in the moment, but they actually bring destruction in the end. I mean, think about your health. There are plenty of things that feel good in the moment. Am I right? I mean, chocolate peanut butter ice cream feels really good in the moment, right? But too much of that is destructive in the belly and in the end, right? There's things that they feel good in the moment. There's things that feel good in the moment that if you do them, they're destructive to your marriage. We can't just do life based on how we're feeling. And so this is where core values come in. We got to have something that acts as an anchor for us. And Paul, he warns the church in Galatia. We should listen to it today. He's like, look, you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, the reaping is going to be destruction. But If you sow according to God and to His promises and His words, if you make the decisions that are in alignment with what pleases Him, even if it doesn't feel good in the moment. Have any of you have figured out yet that a lot of the things that we have to do that are good decisions don't actually feel good in the moment? Have you figured that out? It's called being an adult, right? It's like, I got to go to work and I got to do, right? There's responsibilities. We don't make decisions based on how we feel. We got to have these values that we don't determine, but God has already determined, but we anchor our hearts to those. And then he gives this promise. He says, but don't give up. Don't get tired of doing good. And what we're saying through this series is successful people don't just happen to succeed. They don't just bump into it. One of the things that we see in successful people is they have values that they live by, and they wake up every single day and they say, I'm going to live by these values, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to live by these values, and I will not compromise for anyone. You know, think about, I don't know if you like the Olympics. I love when the Olympics roll around. Summer, winter, doesn't matter. Think about the Olympics, right? An athlete doesn't just decide, I want to be an Olympic athlete. I feel like maybe I could be an Olympic athlete. They don't just show up at the Olympic Village and say, hey, I'm an Olympic athlete. No, they make decisions. They have values that dictate their schedule every day and what they eat and how much they exercise and where it dictates everything. And then we get to see the result, right? We see them win the race and get the medal. We see the success. But I'm just telling you, that success did not happen overnight. They had values. They weren't just driven by how they feel. But we live in a world that would like you to believe that everything is fluid, that there is no absolute truth. I mean, if you feel like this or you feel like that, then you can just go with that. But we know, as Christ followers, there is truth. We know that. We know that there are some things in life that are absolutes. We know there is an absolute truth. And so having the right values keeps us from being swept away by whatever the newest cultural fad is. I mean, think about the fads that come and go. And these aren't even, they're not destructive fads. They just illustrate the idea of how fads come and go. Does anyone remember when people were planking? Does anyone remember that? I mean, what a weird phenomenon, right? Like, let's take pictures of ourselves. You know, some of you don't know what it is. You can look it up later, right? Or like, I was thinking this week, what about fidget spinners? Like, where have they gone, right? I mean, there was a day not that long ago where you had to have one, right? I mean, I remember taking my girls to a convention, and every booth, it seemed like they were giving away fidget spinners with their logo on it, trying to, promote their company. And we walked away with a backpack full of fidget spinners. Why? I have no earthly idea. But now it's like, what in the world? Where are the fidget spinners? Things come, things go. And if we're not careful, if we don't have something that anchors us, a new fad comes along and we just kind of get swept up with it. We just go along. And so their values are so important. And parents, you need to know that your children are paying attention to your values. And you may ask, well, how do my kids know what I value? Well, they live with you. right? They hear your conversations. They watch how you treat your spouse, right? They watch how you prioritize things. They see how you spend your money. They listen to the, right? They're paying attention. And that's scary. I mean, we got to be careful because you become what you value. But parents, you got to know you're also reproducing what you value. And church, you got to know that your neighbors are paying attention as well. You know, it's not nearly as important what you say as how you live. I mean, your coworkers don't care tomorrow morning if you show up and tell them about something out of the message today or out of life group last week. What they care about is, does your life line up with the things that you say? That's where values come in. We got to have something that anchors us there. And I don't know if you ever do this or not. I do know you do it because we all have a little judgment in us. But you ever look at someone that's succeeding, but they're just an evil person, right? They're not living right, you know. They're just breaking all the moral rules, right? But yet they're in the eyes of the world, they're succeeding, right? There's fame and there's money and there's property and there's all this stuff. Have you ever looked at someone and thought, well, I mean, I'm doing everything right. I'm not succeeding, and they're cheating, you know, and everything's going their way. And I'm just going to tell you, okay, the idea here is that you reap what you sow. And the interesting thing about seeds is we put them in the ground and we have faith that they're going to come up, right? But what we can't see is what's happening under the surface. We can't see if it's developing a healthy root system. We can't see that underneath. We only see the stuff that's above. And the principle here Paul teaches is so true. His bottom line is you're going to reap what you sow. You may have fun for a little while. It may look above the surface like you're succeeding, like everything's going right, like everything's good. I mean, I can't even tell you how many families I've seen that all of a sudden the family dynamic falls apart and everyone around them says, I never saw this coming. It's because there's things going on under the surface that are spiritual that you cannot see with the physical eye. But the law is still the same. You reap what you sow. Think about all the famous people, you know, this year that or the last couple of years that in the eyes of the world, we'd say they're succeeding. And all of a sudden we found out that there was a secret life. And all of a sudden everything falls apart. This is the principle that Paul is teaching us. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow. So what kind of values would please God? What kind of values, you know, would we want to live by? I'll just give you a few, you know, things like integrity and kindness, generosity, forgiveness, humility. And those are values that if I were to ask you today, you'd say a big yes. I want those. I want to be known by that. I want that to be, you know, part of my life. But listen, values, they don't happen because we think that they're good. Right? We don't read a verse on, you know, humility and go, wow, that's really good, and it just becomes a value. That's not how it works. You know, it's all about can I live it out? I mean, you can value, or you can say that you value kindness, for example. You could say, you know, I value that. But what about what happens when your neighbor keeps parking his vehicle in front of your house and blocking your driveway? What happens when your neighbor's dog comes and does his business in your yard, right? What happens when something happens and you're like, well, I value kindness. But here's the reality. It's not about what you say. It's about what you do. How do you respond when those things happen? You can say that you value your health, but how are you living? Are you making the right decisions to back that up? See, think of it this way this morning. There's a big difference in values versus desires. Everyone has desires. Everyone. Every one of us, we're made. This is why Galatians says, I mean, you're going to make decisions either to satisfy the flesh or to satisfy the spirits, because the flesh has desires. We want things. We want the things that make us feel good. So everyone has desires, but I would say today few people have values. Few people have really been intentional about nailing down their values. The idea is this, is that we all have desires, and I would just warn you today that the enemy knows what your desires are and how to lead you away by enticing you with the right desire. I've used this example before, but some of you, you know, maybe you haven't heard it in this way. I'm a carnivore. I tease that I get my vegetables by eating animals that already ate them. They come pre-processed, all right? That's just kind of how I do it. And so, you know, and Lisa, on the other hand, she loves a good salad, right? And I learned in the first service, I tried to describe a good salad and find out I can't even describe a good salad. I don't even know what that looks like, you know? And so the idea is if the enemy wanted to entice me to fulfill a desire, he would not bring me a Cobb salad, right? He'd bring it to me and I'd be like, I don't want none of that, right? But what he would do is he would bring me a big ribeye cooked medium well with a loaded potato sitting there beside it and a cup of sweet tea. And all of a sudden, I would be lured away by the desires of my heart or my stomach, right? You see, so the idea is you're wired a particular way. There are things that you are more naturally, you gravitate towards them. There are temptations that you look at someone else and you go, I don't understand. I've never had that temptation. Well, you're not wired that way. But you have other temptations that are tempting to you that maybe not are not tempting to someone else. And so you just need to be on alert that the enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may desire. And one of his tactics is he literally brings you the desires of your flesh. Because let's admit, they feel good. You wouldn't want them if it didn't, right? But we can't give in to our desires. We have to stay grounded in our values. There was a sign in a hotel in Paris where they tried to translate it to accommodate all of the, you know, the American visitors. They tried to put it into English, and the sign read, "Please leave your values at the front desk." Like, I don't think that means what you think it means. But the reality is, the tragedy is that people often leave their values because they're chasing their desires. I told myself I wouldn't do it, but I'm going to get on a soapbox for just a second because I'm just tired. I'm tired of marriages being destroyed because one party or the other decides they're going to chase after their desire. I mean, this is how it works. You can say, I value family. I value marriage. I value trust. I value honesty. All these things. But listen, if the desire comes along and you leave your values to go after the desire, the thing that you think you want, or I'll just get a little more specific, the person that you think you want, you will go and you will satisfy that desire. And it will feel good. It will. But only for a moment. And before long, you will find yourself wondering, why in the world did I leave what I said that I valued to go after something that's so temporary? And then you look back and you realize, I left that and now there's destruction there and I have to go back. And now if there's any chance, and that's where that word earlier about trust, that was for somebody who's saying, I can't trust that person anymore. And God's saying, you can't in their power, but you can in mine. But I'm just tired of watching people walk away from values to chase desires. You just need to know desires are only fun for a little while, and they lead to destruction. All right, I'm off my soapbox. Vision, sorry, values only work when we live them. They only work when we live them. Values are only valuable if you do it even when you don't feel like it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this about you and I. It says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You are God's handiwork. You're his masterpiece. He painstakingly chose every feature about you, every personality piece about you. He made you in a very unique way. And with that, he's given you a purpose. Every single one of you have a purpose. But listen, to accomplish the purpose that God has for you, you're going to have to find some values that will anchor you in this life, and you are going to have to stick to them. Values keep us from drifting off course. So now I want to get practical. This series is a very practical series, and so I want to help you, because you know it's one thing to say I want good values, but how do we figure out what those are, and then how do we allow them to really put an anchor down in our heart? So let me tell you, and then I'll kind of unpack it for you. So here's the process to overcome the drift that naturally happens. Write out your values, read them every morning, and evaluate them every night. Now let me be clear on this point. I'm not asking you to try to find, you know, your own values. What I'm telling you is Ephesians 2 says that you're God's handiwork, that you were made with a purpose. So our job is not, well, what do I think my values are? The question is, how did you make me? What are the things about me that make me unique about me and that help me to achieve my purpose? And then when you figure those out, this is the practical side, write them down, read them every morning, and evaluate every night. Why? Why would we go through, that seems like such a cumbersome process. I mean, why would I do something like that? Because we got to remember today, you become what you value. And what I've learned about people is we tend to have a short memory. We make decisions because we feel good in the moment, but then a day or two later, that decision, I could give a little on that. I don't have to be so strong on that. And so what we do is we establish those values and we write them down to hold ourselves to them. And I think it's time for the church to stop having good desires and to transition to having godly values. It's not enough for us just to want to do good, to be this, to be that. We have to establish values that dictate the way that we live our lives. I reread some Bible stories this week that if you've been around church for very long, you've heard these stories before. But as I read these with, you know, kind of the filter of values, what I saw in these stories, well, I saw some men who had values that kept them grounded even in the face of adversity. I read a story in Daniel chapter 3 about the three Hebrew children. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I read that story, and if you know that story, there's a king. He's got a real long name called Nebuchadnezzar, so I just call him King Neb. King Neb said, he built this big golden image. He said, when the music plays, everyone has to bow down to this image, and you're gonna worship here. But these three Hebrew boys, they had values that said, I cannot do that. That goes against my value system. And so, you know, the trumpets blow and the music starts and everyone bows. And these three boys kind of stand out because they're the only ones in the whole place that are not bowing. But it's because they had values that do not bow. They had values that do not give in to threats, that do not give in to popular opinion. Values stand up in any circumstance. And King Nebuchadnezzar comes to them in Daniel 3 and he says, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image I've set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image the image that was made, then all is good." Right? In other words, do what I'm telling you and I'll forgive you. "But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And these three boys, they respond to him. I love it. They say, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. And I'll just pause there because I love this. I love that they understood that they had a value that they stood by, but they didn't have to be accountable to King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't have to defend to King Nebuchadnezzar. You see, the trend that I'm seeing today is that Christians are getting all worked up about issues in our society. And listen, there are plenty of issues to get worked up about. I'm not saying that. But what we do is we get worked up and we feel like, well, I have to defend. I have to speak out. And it's just, I just think it's kind of a bad habit is we've decided that our outlet for that is going to be social media. That, you know, as if our post is going to change the world, right? And so we're out there defending things. And really, really most of what we're doing is we're just stirring the pot when we should be busy out loving people and serving people and doing things that would bring actual change, right? I'm just telling you, a Facebook post is not going to bring change to a community, but action will. And that's where values come in. Values dictate how we live our lives. But these three boys, they stand up and they say, King, we don't have to defend ourselves to you. If we're thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. That's some faith, right? They're standing, but then they say, it doesn't stop there. Then they say, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. In other words, the value is staying. I am not changing. Throw me in the fire. Don't throw me in the fire. Play the music. Don't play the music. I am still sticking to my values. And here's what I see in this story is these guys, they predetermined their values. They didn't make the decision when they were standing in front of the fire. They made that decision long before that. And I really felt a warning in my spirit today because some of you might be waiting to decide until the moment comes, until the challenge comes, until the temptation comes. Well, I'll decide in that moment. You need to predetermine. Because listen, values are not decided in moments of crisis, but they are revealed. You don't decide when everything goes crazy, but you do see the true self. I mean, all of a sudden, that crisis brings out who we really are. Often, we admire in someone else because we saw them walk through a crisis. We saw when life got tough how they handled it, and we admire that in them. But you could also probably think of people that, you know, they said all the right things and they looked the part and everything seemed to be right. But then when crisis hits, the true self comes out, and now we're going, man, I thought they were different. I don't want to be that way. See, the values, they come out in the circumstances of life. They reveal what we're really made of. There's another story a couple chapters later, still in Daniel, about the man named Daniel. And the leaders of the day, they didn't like Daniel very much. And they're trying to find something about him. They're going to bring something to the king to get him in trouble. And so they're watching his every move. And it says this. It says, at this, the administrators tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Did you see it there? This is a man that had values. He had predetermined values. And everyone around him saw it. They saw that he stood up for what his heart valued, for what it believed. So church, we have to be intentional about our values. Because you become what you value. So here's the practical part. Write them out. Discover your values with God's help and then write them out. John Maxwell, if you're reading the book, John Maxwell points out in the book that the greatest gap is not between ignorance and knowledge. In other words, what we don't know. That's not the biggest gap. The biggest gap is between what we know and what we actually do. That's the biggest gap. Often we know the right thing to do. We know the right decisions to make. So what if we lived what we knew? What if we made our decisions based on the values, not just how we feel in the moment? So what values do is they create that alignment that is necessary. They close the gap between what we know and what we actually do. So I'm gonna help you today with it'll take us about, 5 minutes or so. I'm going to help you with a process. And just so you know, this process is not meant, you're not going to discover all your values, in the next 5 minutes. It's meant to kind of get you thinking in the right way. So on your way in, you should have received a little handout. If you didn't, if we missed you, you can wave your hand and one of our hospitality team will bring you one. And we're also going to put some of this on the screen. But I just want to help you to start thinking about, how did God create me and what are the values that should be in my life, that should anchor, my heart. And so the idea is this, is you're going to take this list in just a moment. Let me help you. You're going to take this list and you're just kind of read through. There's a big list of values there. And as you read through that, what I want you to do is circle words that kind of connect with you. It's like, yeah, that's what I want to be known for. That's what people say about me. That is something that I value. And there may be other words, I don't know, and you just kind of scratch them out. I'm asking you to make this, a little bit of a big list into a little bit of a smaller list. And it's just to help you kind of start thinking about. And why don't we do this? Let's just position our hearts. I just think in these next few moments, the Holy Spirit can do a deep work in us, but this isn't, you're not deciding what your values are. What we're doing is we're asking God to instill in us the right values so that we can achieve the purpose that He put for our lives. So let's just pray just real quick, position your heart. Lord, as we take just a few moments to consider our values, we ask Holy Spirit that You would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, literally cause words to jump off the page and others to kind of melt into the background. Show us who You created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you just look over that list for just a moment. It's different than normal, but that's all right. Probably not going to finish it. You're going to get started this morning. And the second part, I know you're probably not done with the first, but I told you you're not going to finish it. So the second part, so I want you to think of someone that you admire, someone you look up to, someone that you'd want to model your life after, a mentor, and maybe even put their name there. And then ask yourself this question, why do I admire them? Often we see in others what we want to be, what we want to become. So this is it's kind of another way to think through, what are the values that I'm kind of chasing after, that my heart naturally goes towards. So just think about that for a minute. Who do I admire and what are the things I admire about them? And the final piece of this is, it's a little morbid, but pretend you're Tom Sawyer. If you were at your funeral, what are the things that you would hope people would say about you? This is kind of a good exercise because I don't think anybody is going to put, I hope they say, he worked too much, right? He made too much money, right? I mean, what are the things that you want people to remember you by? Kind of helps you figure out what's the most valuable in your heart, in your life. And I'm just going to encourage you, this week to spend some time, kind of go back through these exercises. But really, the question is, Lord, help me shape these values. And then and you write them down, and then the practical part is then read them every morning, right? In other words, just remind yourself, review, right? Because I don't know how your day is, but I get out of bed and I sometimes will think, man, this is going to be a slow, peaceful morning. And like 6 seconds later, you know, life happens. And the next thing I know, I'm getting back in that same bed and I don't even know what happened, right? You know, and live like, I mean, it's life, right? So this is just, it's an exercise just to remind myself. These are the things that I'm not going to be led by feelings today. I'm going to be led by these values. I'm going to remember them. A couple of years ago, Lisa made a, she called it daily declarations. And she did this for our girls. And so every day on the way to school, she would say these things, and the girls would repeat after her. So I'll tell you what they are. So they would say this. They'd say, "I am a child of God." Lisa would say it, and the girls would mimic. You know, "I'm a child of God. I am loved. I am unique. I am beautiful. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nobody like me, so I won't compare myself to anyone. God is for me, not against me. He's working in my life. He has big plans for me. I will follow him and walk in the destiny and calling he has for me. I am a woman of integrity and character." This was Lisa and the girls, not me. I wouldn't say I'm a woman. "I keep my word. I'm respectful. I am faithful. I'll be a blessing to my teachers, my friends, and my family." And sometimes we'd have them say that last part twice. "I'll be a blessing to my family. I'll be a blessing to my family." I would say, "I'll be a blessing to my dad," right? And then, "I'm a light, and I will shine brightly for all to see. I'll be a good friend, treating others the way I want to be treated. I'll think before I act and before I react. I'll use my mouth to speak words of life and not death. I'm a leader, not a follower. I'm confident. I am bold. I'm strong in the Lord. I can face anything with him by my side. I am smart. I work hard. I don't quit. If I fall, I get back up and help others to do the same. I am blessed, and I thank God that today is a gift from him." And they do this every day on the way to school. And here's what I observed is, in the beginning, we made them do this, right? That's a nice thing when the kids are young. You still make them do things, right? And so we just make them, you know? But what happened is, day after day of declaring these things over their own lives, I saw a transformation in their attitude, which we talked about in life groups this week, if you were there. I saw a change because all of a sudden they began to believe it. I saw this transformation begin. So that's what I'm saying. Figure out your values and then just figure out a way. I don't know how you want to do it, but like, write them down, review them on a regular basis on your way to work, or figure out a way. Just remind yourself and then evaluate them. Evaluate them every night. In other words, how did I live up to the things that I say I value? You know, was I generous today in every situation? What was I honest today in every interaction? And just self-evaluation. What did I do it? I have a friend that's a pilot, and from time to time he'll take me up in his plane, and it's really fun. Well, he takes off, and once we get in the air, he hands the controls to me. And Lisa does not like that, but I fly through the clouds, and it's a blast. I really like it. And the thing is, though, I don't know what I'm doing at all. I mean, I don't know how to take off, how to land. I just know how to dodge clouds, all right? And what he'll do is he has all these instruments. He'll put a heading, and he'll say, "Jason, stay on this heading and stay at this elevation." He'll tell me, you know, what to do, and I'll try. It's harder than it looks. I'll just be honest. You know, I start drifting off of the course, or all of a sudden the nose will be down, and we're like going towards the ground, or you know, we're just, you know. And then what he'll do, he has this really cool feature called autopilot. And I'm way off course, and he'll reach over, he'll go, "Hey, let go." And he'll push the autopilot button. And no matter how far off course I took the plane, that autopilot corrects it. It's like, we just come over and we get back on the heading. We hit that plane settles out. And it's fun because we both sit there like this. And the steering wheel is just kind of doing its own thing. It's really creepy. And but it gets us back on track. And this is the idea of establishing core values. Is there are plenty of times in your life where you will get off course. You have a heading, and you're going there, and you're trying to do what's right, right? You remember what Paul said? He's like, you know, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I do want to do. You remember that? That's what I'm saying. You're gonna have values, but you're going to be going, and you're going to get off track. And what this review of values does, it's like pushing the autopilot button. It goes, man, get back over here. You know, don't be a dumb husband. Get back over here. Right? Get on track. Do the right things. It's just this autocorrect. I didn't think for a minute that you'd figure out all your values this morning. I did want to convince you that you need some. And I did want to convince you to spend some time in the presence of God figuring it out, establishing your values. What are your core values? We're going to pray this morning, and I'm just going to pray for you. Some of you, maybe you need to get back on track. You realize you've just been living for the desires of the flesh that are going to lead to destruction. Today would be a great day. Today matters. Today would be a great day to get your life on track. By the way, there is grace. There is amazing grace available today. There's no condemnation in this message. There's an opportunity to respond to the grace of God. Why don't you stand with me? As we get ready to pray, pray with me. Father, I just am so thankful for your truth in a world where we're being told there is no truth. I thank you that your word is true, that your promises are true, Lord, that you are true, Lord, that in this crazy world we can find our bearing by finding your truth and anchoring ourselves to it. So Lord, I pray that over the next days and weeks, that as we spend time in your presence and we listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would help us to establish right values, godly values, Lord, for us and our families. Lord, that you would speak to us and you'd show us, Lord, the unique things about how you created us and the unique value system that will help us to be who you created us to be, to achieve the purpose that you created us to fulfill. Lord, I pray this morning for friends who discover that along the way they got off track and that maybe we chased the desires of the flesh. They looked so good. They were so appealing. We thought that's what we wanted, but we found ourselves disappointed. We found ourselves discontent with the desires of the flesh, and we want to come home. Lord, I thank you for the grace of God, the amazing grace. I pray today for a release of grace today. Lord, every one of us probably need a reminder of your grace because it is so big that our minds cannot understand it. Lord, I pray for a release of grace today. Lord, grace that draws us back to you. Lord, grace that wraps itself around us and reminds us of your love. Grace that leads to repentance. Lord, we're trying to get our hearts right this morning. We're trying to align ourselves with your values. So we invite you to work deep in us, gently in us. Lord, we want to produce fruit that will last. Lord, we got to have values to support that. We got to have values that dictate the life that we live. And so, Lord, we're asking for your help this morning. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you never leave us, but you're always there. So we invite you into this process. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Church, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.